island of Euclidea is no longer visible. At the location of the island, the waters of the South Pacific Ocean are rolling gently. And on the surface floats the rocket plane, which Captain Bradford and Elaine have landed near the upper escape lock of the underwater city of Euclidea. The time is going to pass very slowly for the captain and the Euclidean girl commander who is now helping him. They will have to wait for days until the Gregory boat arrives and the Euclideans are captured. Back on the Gregory boat, Mrs. Gregory, Jerry, and Joan are wondering and worrying about the two who have gone ahead. In the radio cabin of the boat, Jerry and Joan are doing their worrying out loud.
All right, Joan, all right. You're sure and I'm sure, so let's forget it.
But, Jerry, we are sure of two different things.
Yes, but we don't get any place by arguing. You think you're right, and I know I'm right. So what?
Regardless of who is right, I am very worried about the captain and Elaine.
Oh, so am I. But Tex never got into anything he couldn't get out of.
They must be nearly out of fuel, Jerry. Elaine said when they took off that they had barely enough of the fuel gas to take them to Euclidea.
Well, what of it? They're not trying to go anyplace else. What do they need fuel for?
If the Euclideans are able to escape from the underwater city and attack the captain, he will need fuel badly.
Oh, I know it. That radio message from Tex sounded like a bluff to me.
A bluff?
Yeah, you know, trying to make somebody believe you can do something you're not very sure of.
I think you are right. The captain was, as you say, bluffing.
Yeah, you bet he was. That gag about capturing G-47 and his men on that raft wasn't very good.
What do you think he was actually trying to do?
Oh, probably scare them back into their hole so they would stay put until we get there.
The captain was very sure that his universal solvent would effectively prevent the escape of the Euclideans.
Well, I guess it would, if he had a chance to get it planted before any of them escaped.
And if he did not?
Well, then we're going to find Tex and Elaine prisoners when we get there. And the rest of us will probably end up the same way.
But that would be terrible, Jerry.
Oh, don't tell me.
We would not be treated so kindly this time. C-47 would have the captain's solvent, and he could easily work out the formula. Then there would be no further need for them to show us any consideration.
Well, all right, all right. Golly, I know all that as well as you do. But when you're sure of bad news, why rub it in?
I am not rubbing anything.
Oh, I didn't say you were.
I see you two are just as friendly as ever.
Mother.
Oh, Mrs. Gregory. Well, we're not fighting, just arguing.
No more news from Tex?
No, Mother. The radio has been silent.
Well, I hope no news is good news.
Oh, sure it is. The captain and Elaine know how to take care of themselves.
Yes, they would if they had a chance. But what are the odds against them down there?
I think their position is not pleasant.
There you go again. Why don't you try to be cheerful once in a while?
Jerry, you were the one who suggested that the captain's radio message was a bluff.
What?
Well, you see, Mrs. Gregory, I've got an idea that Tex sent us that message just to scare the Euclideans, if they were listening in. I don't think he had a chance to really capture them.
I thought that, Jerry. The message didn't ring true.
We can do very little to help them. And this boat is so slow.
Everything seems too slow when you're trying to cope with those Euclideans. But this was the fastest boat I could get, which was large enough to hold the 200 or 300 people we may have to bring back with us.
Yeah, they don't keep us there with them.
Oh, yes, Skipper?
Jerry.
Oh, what name?
Hi.
What for?
Something wrong, Skipper?
No.
Oh, okay, Skipper. I'll be back pretty soon, Mrs. Gregory.
Very well, Jerry.
What's up, Skipper? Okay.
Well, I wonder if anything has happened.
I think not, Mother. Just some little task the Skipper has for Jerry.
What were you and Jerry discussing?
We were speaking of the probable conditions at Euclidea.
And neither of you looked very happy when I came in. You think they're in danger?
I did not say that, Mother.
No, none of us dare to say it. But everyone is thinking it.
There is nothing we can do about it.
That's what worries me. If there were only a few moves we could make, anything to occupy our minds, to give us something to do.
No, Mother, you cannot help by worrying.
Oh, I know that. But it doesn't keep me from worrying.
Bradford to Gregory. But, Joy, do not see that it's...
Wait, Joan, I think I hear the radio.
Can you hear me?
It's Tex. Hello, Tex. Pat calling. Hello, Tex.
Hello, Pat. How's everybody?
Well, we're all right, just plowing along.
Everything running on schedule?
McLeod says we're doing a little better than schedule.
Fine. Keep it up and don't worry about us.
What have you been able to do?
We're riding easily on the water, just above the airlock.
No trouble?
Not a bit.
How are your provisions and fuel?
More than enough to last until you arrive.
Have you any special instructions for
us? Not at the moment, but keep the radio open on this wavelength and have someone with it at all times.
We would have done that. Are you sure that no one escaped before you got there?
No chance. The submarine locks are still magnetized shut, and we're watching the airlock in the surface chamber.
Is Elaine sure that there is no other means of escape from the island?
Positive. Don't worry about anything. Just keep coming our way, and we'll be waiting for you.
Thanks, Tex. You've been so wonderful through all this, and it's my fault we ever started it.
Think nothing of it. Well, I'd better save our batteries. Good luck, all. See you later.
Goodbye, Tex, and good luck to you both.
It would seem they are doing well, Mother.
Yes, and I suppose it's true. But I'm afraid I won't rest much until we reach there.
This is only our first night on the water. You must not worry at this early date.
Mrs. Gregory.
Yes, Mac, what is it?
May I have a word with you?
Well, of course you may. Come in.
Thank you.
Come right over here and sit down. I'd like to stay near the radio as much as possible.
How do you do, Miss Jones?
You are wearing a very sad expression, Mr. McLeod.
Sorry, I am for that. But the truth of the matter is that I have something which is not resting easy on my mind.
Trouble, McLeod?
It may be, and then again, it may not be.
Well, what is it?
How important is it that we keep up the speed we're now making?
Well, it may mean everything, Matt. The captain and Elaine are drifting practically helpless on the water down there, and they'll never be really safe until we arrive.
Then it would seem that we must keep it up.
Yes. But why not?
Well, to tell you the truth, Mrs. Gregory, the motors are acting none too good.
The motors?
Aye.
The motors of this boat are defective?
I wouldn't say that they were defective, but they are being badly overworked. And I'm none too sure how much of it they'll stand.
But speed means everything, Mac. We're doing far too slowly as it is.
I won't argue about that. But the boat was designed to make 16 knots, and she's now making 21.
16 knots? 5 knots less?
Aye.
Well, it's out of the question, Mac. Tex and Elaine figured that with good luck they'd be able to hold out for 6 days, possibly a few hours more than that. But to reduce our speed 5 knots would mean adding at least 2 full days to our run.
Aye, it would that.
We haven't any such margin as that. Keep the motors wide open and take a chance.
We'll be no good to the captain if we break down short of our goal.
We'll be no more good to him if we're too late getting there.
Right you are, and I'm glad to hear you want it that way. I would have said as much myself had I been in charge.
You are in charge of those engines, Mac. And your job is to get us just as far as you can, as fast as you can. I'll be responsible beyond that.
Good for you. Well, I'll get on back to the engine room and keep me eye on those motors.
Is Jerry in the engine room?
Aye. We sent for the lad to tell him what was happening, so he would help you make up your mind.
Well, I don't need any help. But I would like to know what Jerry's opinion was.
Well, he said to run this thing until the motors fell out of it. And then we'd row it the rest of the way.
Oh, good for Jerry. Oh, Mac.
Aye?
We just talked to the captain on the radio.
And what's the news?
None. They arrived safely. Now all they can do is just lie there and wait for us.
But they did arrive there. Well, I'll get on back and I'll send Jerry in here if you want him.
I wish you would.
Then I will. And then I'll get all me time to keep in this coffee grinder turning over.
Well, Joan, that isn't so good, is it?
I would not think too much of that, Mother. Mr. McLeod is an engineer. He is a lover of fine machinery, and he would be inclined to exaggerate the condition of the motors.
I hope so. But whether that's the case or not, we'll keep up every bit of speed we can make from now on.
And now I think you should have some rest.
I know I should. And I'm going to be sensible and try to get some as soon as Jerry comes back.
And Jerry and I will remain with the radio.
No, dear. You'll come and rest with me. Jerry won't mind standing by the radio alone.
But, Mother, I do like to be near Jerry. He talks so much and says so little that it is very restful.
Possibly. But even so, I want you to come into our cabin and lie down.
Hey, was McLeod just in here?
Yes, Jerry. He came to see Mother about the engine.
What did he tell you, Mrs. Gregory?
He seemed to be worried as to how well the motors would stand our present speed.
Yeah, well, that's what he told me, too. But he's worrying too much about nothing.
Are you sure?
Well, sure, I'm sure. The old skipper was an engineer for a long time, and he said those motors would stand running at full speed as long as we wanted to run them.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Now, Jerry, if you'll take over the radio, Joan and I'll try to get a little sleep.
Oh, sure, Mrs. Gregory. I'll take over.
Joan and I'll relieve you on the morning watch.
But, gee, you don't need to get up then. Well, I can put one of the crew in here when I get sleepy.
No, Jerry. I prefer that we three handle all messages from text. Johnson would do, of course. But I've asked him to spend all his time in the pilot house.
That is advisable. When we are trying to maintain top speed through all conditions, a great deal depends on our navigator.
Well, Johnson's plenty good.
He certainly is. Now, Jerry, if
you... Well, Mrs. Gregory, can I have Jones stay here with me for just a few minutes?
I don't see why not, but I don't see why either.
Oh, I just wanted to talk to her about it.
Oh, please, Mother.
Well, very well. Don't stay more than a few minutes, though, Joan.
I want you to get as much rest as possible.
I will not be long, Mother.
Good night, Jerry, and call me if you hear from Beth.
Oh, bet I will, Mrs. Gregory. Good night.
What did you want, Jerry?
Well, I want to talk to you.
So you said.
Well, I think it's important.
What is it?
Well, McLeod is really worried about those engines, and he's right.
But, Jerry,
I said everything was going to be all right just to make your mother feel good. Those engines are liable to quit any time at this speed.
Then we could not help the captain, and our position would be hopeless.
Well, that's the idea, and there's only one thing we can do if we get close enough to do it. Radio the captain to get away from that place and fly back to the boat. It'd be safer if we were all together.
But the Euclideans would escape.
Sure, and when they escape, they'll come after us.
Oh, but Jerry, we must not allow that to happen.
I know that as well as you do. And I took a chance and told McLeod about my plan. He's going to do it, and your mother will never know the difference.
Jerry, you are going to trick Mother?
Oh, we've got to, Joan. Oh, we haven't got a chance to save the captain or do anything else. McLeod is going to cut the engines to 18 knots an hour, and we mustn't let your mother find it out.